I want to join with Mark in expressing my appreciation for everyone's presence this Lord's Day. We have several visiting with us, and we're thankful that you've come our way. Hope that you'll come back and be with us again. This morning's sermon and this afternoon's sermon are two parts of one message that I want to bring this Lord's Day. I want to talk about how to have a good marriage, how to have a successful marriage. I realize this doesn't apply directly to everyone who is present this Lord's Day. Some have had to bid farewell to their loved one who has passed on and are no longer in this state. Others have yet to enter into it. They are in their youth and have yet to enter into it. But the vast majority of people who are present are married. And we're interested in our marriages. We want to have a good and happy marriage. And if you've been married any amount of time at all, you know that that doesn't just happen. Good, happy marriages don't happen by accident. They are the result of a lot of effort that's put forth by both the husband and the wife. Each of them supplying what they must. Each of them making necessary sacrifices for the benefit of their marriage. When problems arise in a marriage, and they do, sooner or later, and to different extents of severity, it's easy to criticize. It's easy to point out the mistakes and the shortcomings of your spouse. In these lessons today, what I want us to do is I want us to shift our focus away from fault-finding to being a part of a solution, finding ways to help our spouse to be the best that they can be. This morning I want to look at some ways that a wife can help her husband be a better husband. And then this afternoon I want us to turn the tables and I want us to consider some ways that a husband can help his wife to be a better wife. As we go through these sermons today, I want us to keep one thought before us, and that is free will. Your spouse, just like yourself, has free will. We cannot control other people. We can't control our spouse. The things that we're going to discuss in the lessons today are not a magical formula. That if you go down through them, then your spouse is going to turn out to be just perfect. If your spouse is a good person and wants to do what is right, these are some things that you can do to help him or to help her to bring about the changes that they want to make in their life. We all need to learn the lesson that we cannot control other people. We can only control ourselves. And with that being the case, I want to talk this morning about how wives can help their husbands be better husbands. And then this afternoon we'll conclude by looking at what husbands can do to help their wives be better wives. Let's start off by looking at what a wife can do. Number one, as a wife, you can do what it is that you've been created to do. And that is, you can be a companion to your husband. You can be his companion. Go back with me to the book of Genesis chapter 2. And let's read verses 18 through 24 together. Genesis chapter 2, where it all began, where the family first began. Let's read verses 18 through 24 together. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.'" Eve was created, we can see in the scriptures, Eve was created because it was not good for Adam to be alone. God had created man as a social being. And as a general rule, there are a few exceptions, but as a general rule, We like to socialize. We like to be in the company of other people. And Adam was created for that purpose, was created with that desire, yet there was no one for him to be with, no one for him to share his life with. No animal would do. Every animal that God had made was brought before Adam. Adam named it, but Adam discovered that they were not comparable to him. A wife completes a man. A wife supplies for the man what he is lacking. It brings something to him that he cannot supply for himself, that his parents cannot supply, that his friends cannot supply. And unfortunately, in the climate of the world in which we live today, that another man cannot supply. God created a woman to be a companion for man. Wives, listen to me. Your husband needs you in his life. Not as a friend. That's important that you be friends and that you be the closest of friends. He doesn't need you as a friend. He doesn't need you as a maid. He doesn't need you as a second mother. He needs you to be his companion. That's what he needs. In the book of Ruth, at chapter 1 and verse 16, Ruth makes a statement to Naomi, which certainly applies to the marriage relationship. Now we know that Ruth and Naomi were mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, and Ruth had decided that, or Naomi rather, had decided that she was going to return to her home and allowed her daughter-in-laws to return back to theirs, but Ruth would not leave her. Ruth says in Ruth chapter 1 and verse 16, but Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave you or turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God." That's the depth of companionship that Ruth was wanting to give to Naomi, her mother-in-law. And I'll suggest to you that's the depth of companionship that your husband needs from you. You need to be his and belong to him in a special way that you do not belong to anyone else. You need to be there for him, and you need to be there with him. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have other interests. That doesn't mean that you can't have friends. Doesn't mean you can't maintain a good relationship with your family. But what it means is that your relationship with him comes first, and he knows that, and he understands that from you. In the book of 1 Corinthians, at chapter 7, verses 2 and 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 2 and 3, "Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband." Make sure your husband knows that you are his, and he is yours. In the book of Ephesians, at chapter 5 and verse 33, Paul says, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Your husband needs to know from you that you are his companion, that you belong to him in that special way. There's something else that you can do to help your husband, and that is to fulfill your role as his helpmeet. Remember what we read there in Genesis chapter 2 and at verse 18. God said, "I will make a helper comparable to him." Adam needed help. And men today may or may not acknowledge it and admit it. We need help. We need help that only our wife can supply unto us. The women's liberation movement has done women an injustice and has done marriage much harm. They have destroyed the unity and the relationship that ought to exist between a husband and wife, and they've replaced it with a field of competition, where the woman is now in competition with the man, not just in the school and not just in the workplace, but also in the home. And so the biblical roles that have been assigned to the husband and to the wife have been discarded in favor of 20th century and now 21st century models, which are doomed to failure, given enough time. We'll learn that, as we already are in our society. You want to help your husband be a better husband? Get into the book and find out what you're supposed to be doing as a wife, and learn your role that God has given you as a wife. God took the woman from the man, not from another lump of clay. Think about it. When it was time to make a companion for Adam, God didn't go and get another lump of clay. He took the companion from Adam. They are from one another. You and your husband belong together in that special way. Notice also that the woman Eve was not taken from Adam's skull so that she would rule over him, nor was she taken from a bone in his foot so that he would trample upon her, but instead she was taken from the side of man so that they could be familiar equals with each other. The husband and the wife are not in competition with one another. They are one flesh. They work together as what we would call a team. Let's consider some specific ways that you can help your husband, that you can be this helpmeet to him. Number one is by fulfilling your role as a keeper of the home. In the book of Titus at chapter 2, the Apostle Paul tells the evangelist Titus to give instructions to specific members of the congregation there on the island of Crete. He says that the older women are, verse 4, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Now, as we're going to look this afternoon, God has given the husband the responsibility to provide for his family. As a wife, you count on him to do that. God has given you the responsibility of taking care of the home. Your husband needs to be able to count on you to do that, to take care of that home. Now, certainly your husband can help you doing that. There's nothing wrong with a man getting home from work and getting a hold of the vacuum cleaner or something else that needs to be done. There's nothing wrong with your children helping you with taking care of the home. They can and they should help. But understand that God has given you the responsibility of taking care of the home. Now, how does taking care of the home help your husband? Well, it doesn't take very long before you learn and realize that the wife sets the tone for the home. It is the wife that sets the tone, sets the attitude, sets the mood for the home. I remember going back a few years when Christy and I were getting married. And I'm not going to bring a lot of illustrations of our marriage into these lessons today. But I remember I was living in the typical bachelor pad. And I had my things scattered around. And as we were moving closer to that date, she was living here in Ohio and I was living in Missouri, and she'd make trips and bring things of hers to our house. And slowly, the house began to change. And there were doilies all over everything. And there was soap in the bathroom I wasn't allowed to use. And towels I wasn't allowed to use. And it didn't take long after we were married before furniture began to be replaced. What was my wife doing? My young bride was making that her home. She was setting the tone for the home. How can you help your husband as a homemaker? Give him a peaceful home to come to after work, so that he doesn't come home from the turmoil of work and traffic to more turmoil and drama in the house. Have the home running peacefully. Have it so that your husband, when he leaves to go to work or to tend to things that he is responsible for, he doesn't have to worry about what is left behind at home. In Proverbs chapter 31, we read about the virtuous wife. Notice one thing that's said about her here in the beginning of this description. Proverbs 31 and verse 11 says, "The heart of her husband safely trust her." You want to help your husband be the best husband he can be? Let him trust you to take care of the things that are your responsibility. And free him up from that so that he can take care of the things that God has placed upon him. You want to help him? Take care of the home. You want to help him? Learn to be content, as Paul did. Paul says in Philippians 4 and verse 11, "I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content." Husbands, take pride in what they're able to do and what they're able to provide. And if you constantly complain that you want a better house and you want a better car and you want better furniture, the message that you're sending to your husband is that he can't provide what you want and need. And that's a terrible message to send to your husband. That's going to destroy him over time. Learn to be content with what the two of you are doing together. Now, there's nothing wrong with improving yourself. Nothing wrong with improving your income and improving your status of life, as long as you're giving God the glory for that and you're using it to God's glory. Nothing wrong with moving in that direction. But if you're using nagging and complaining and criticizing to urge your husband on in that direction, you're destroying him. You're not helping him at all. You want to help him? Learn to be content. Learn to be satisfied. Learn to be thankful for what he can do, as he needs to learn to be thankful for what you are doing. You need to encourage your husband. Encourage him to be the best husband he can be, to be the best father he can be, to be the best at his work that he can be, to be a good son, to be a good sibling, to do the best he can at the Lord's church. If your husband is a deacon, don't complain that he's gone to take care of the Lord's business. If your husband is an elder, don't complain that he's gone from you to shepherd the flock. Encourage your husband. Another way you can help him is by giving him a woman's perspective. Different challenges are going to arise in the life of a man in which he is going to need to be able to see things from a woman's point of view. And I can tell you that is almost impossible for a man to do. Think about this. Why is it that the men who serve as deacons and elders in the local church have to be married? They need their wives. They need their wives to help them with things from time to time. There are going to be times when your husband's going to have to deal with female family members. You can help him with that. Dealing with children. God has designed women, mothers in particular, to be able to deal with small children, to be able to deal with children in a way that a lot of men cannot. Your husband, when he becomes a father, he's going to need your help in being patient with and handling properly the children that you've been blessed with. Give him a woman's perspective. That's one thing that he needs. And be a good influence for your husband. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. 1 Peter 3, verses 1 and 2. "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands." And we'll get to that point in just a moment. "Be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." This passage obviously is directed towards women whose husbands are not believers. And what the Holy Spirit says is that if your husband is going to be won to Christ at all, it's going to be through your good influence. I want to tell you that a Christian husband will benefit from his wife's good influence just like a non-Christian husband will. Be a good influence for your husband. Be there with him for his moments of weakness. Influence him in what is right and what is good. There are other things that could be added to this list under this particular point. I think you understand. How do you help your husband?
be the best husband he can be? By being his helpmeet. By being there to lovingly help him in these different ways that the Scriptures suggest. Another point, another thing that you can do to help your husband be a better husband is not rebel against his position of leadership he's been given, but to submit to the leadership that God has given unto him. Not that he has assumed for himself, but the authority that God has given him in the marriage. In Ephesians chapter 5, now we just read here in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1 that wives are to be submissive to their own husbands. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 24, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. I want to pause right here, and I want you to understand something. In your home, God has given the position of authority to your husband. That's not a position that he has taken on himself. That's not a position that was given to him by tradition through his father and grandfather. That's a position that was given to him by God. And ladies, listen to me. If you don't like that, don't get married. Don't enter into that relationship. Because God has designed it the way He has designed it. Take it up with Him. You are to be submissive to your husband. And your husband has been put in a position of accountability and responsibility. Now, if he takes it upon himself to lead as a tyrant, he'll have to answer to God for that. And we're going to cover that very thoroughly this afternoon. But understand, your husband has been given a position of accountability and responsibility. You want to help him to be a better husband? You make it easy for him to be a husband. Don't make him fight with you and battle with you over things. If your husband loves you, he's going to take into account and consideration what is best for you, what you want, and what you desire. Remember, you're not in competition with a good husband. If you've got a good husband, he's going to understand you. He's going to make decisions with you in mind. I know some wives, even some wives who are Christians, who openly defy their husbands and take pride in this. Others who resort to nagging and complaining to get their husband to change his mind. The joke that has become popular nowadays, yes, the husband is the head of the home, but the wife is the neck, and she turns the head wherever she wants to turn it. Oh, that sounds funny, but it's not biblical. I can't find it in the Scripture anywhere. In the book of Judges, at chapter 16, Judges chapter 16, Samson went down and fell in love with Delilah. Delilah didn't love him. Delilah was using him. She was trying to find out the secret of his strength, and she asked him, and he lied, and asked him again, and he lied again. Judges 16, verse 15 said, "Then she said to him, 'How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You've mocked me these three times and have not told me where your great strength lies.' And it came to pass when she pestered him daily with her words and pressed him, so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart." I'm afraid that's the way some wives will approach getting their husbands to do what they want them to do. I'm just going to make life miserable for him until he does it the way I want it done. That's not how you help your husband be a better husband. That's how you lead your husband to resent you. That doesn't help your marriage. That only hurts it. We're talking about bringing out the best in your husband. Nagging and complaining doesn't bring out the best in anyone. How can you help your husband? Submit to his leadership. And we'll talk about his leadership this afternoon. What else? Well, along with that, respect your husband. In Ephesians 5, verse 33, we read a moment ago, "Let the wife see that she respects her husband." You need to hold up your husband in your own eyes, as well as in the eyes of your children and in the eyes of other people. You need to love him. You need to esteem him. You need to honor him. It's easy to run him down. You know what? That's an easy laugh. That's a cheap laugh for all of us to poke fun at our spouse. But that's not how you respect your spouse. Don't resort to cheap laughs. Don't run down your husband. Don't make real unrealistic expectations of him. Respect your husband and respect the things that are important to your husband. Respect his family. Respect his interest. Respect his hobbies unless they conflict with the will of God. Respect your husband. And you need to love your husband. As we read in Titus chapter 2 and at verse 4, the older women are to teach the younger women to love their children and to love their husbands. And we know about agape love, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But you know the word here in Titus chapter 2, verse 4, for love your husbands is not the word agape. It's a different word. It's the word that refers to fondness and affection. It is the emotional side of love. To whereas agape is the selfless service type of love. This kind of love here that's commanded to wives towards their husbands is that affectionate, emotional love. You need to be affectionate with your husband. And I know sometimes the criticism, the complaint is heard, well, he's not romantic towards me. He's not affectionate towards me. And that may be the case. But the fact that Scripture commands you as the wife to be affectionate toward your husband, might that not be suggesting that you need to be the one that instigates this part of your relationship? That you need to be affectionate towards your husband? I promise you, any husband will respond to that in the appropriate way. Be affectionate towards your husband. Be the one who is emotional towards him, and that will be returned. And husbands, that doesn't let us off the hook to be romantic and to be affectionate ourselves. But wives are to do that, but also there is the agape love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, many of you probably had this passage read at your wedding, and you probably paid as much attention to it as it was being read as your husband did. But we need to follow it. We need to follow it, not just on our wedding day, but we need to follow it throughout our marriage. What does the text say about love? Love suffers long and is kind. You're going to be patient with your husband. You're going to need that, right? But you're going to exercise that patience with your husband. You're going to be kind to him. You're not going to be ugly to him out of retaliation, but you're going to be kind to him. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. If he starts getting accolades at work and he's recognized at work and you're not at home, you're not going to become envious of him because of that. Love doesn't envy. Love doesn't say, what about me? Love doesn't puff itself up. Love does not behave rudely. There's no excuse for rude in a marriage or any other relationship. There's just no excuse for rude. Love does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Love does not lead a wife to sit back and go, all right, here's the things you've done to me. And when you upset me, I'm going to let you know about it. Love doesn't keep track of offenses. Love does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. If you love your husband, verse 7, you're going to bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Love never fails. You want to help your husband be a better husband? You love him the way Titus chapter 2, verse 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 13 teaches you to love your husband. And finally, you want to bring out the best in your husband. You're going to have to communicate with him. Now, I don't mean by nagging and complaining, but still, you're going to have to communicate with your husband. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 sets forth a general truth that applies to any relationship. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? And what that simply means is we cannot read each other's minds. And as you wives have probably learned, your husband has a terrible time reading your mind and knowing what you're thinking. and knowing why you're upset. Isn't that amazing that a husband can live with a woman, live with his wife for many years and not know why she's upset, maybe not even know that she's upset? And her girlfriend can walk in the house and take one look at her and know everything just like that? Your husband can't read your mind. And experience has showed you that your husband is not attuned to your feelings the way you would like for him to be or the way you wish that he was. We're talking about how to help your husband be a better husband. Communicate with him. Let him know what you're thinking. Let him know what it is that has upset you. Instead of making him guess, and if he doesn't figure it out in a week, well then he just doesn't need to know. No one wins the guessing game. When someone resorts to playing the guessing game, there are no winners in a guessing game. Communicate with your husband, not nagging, not complaining, not condescendingly. But communicate with your husband. Let him know what is in your heart. He loves you more than anyone else on this world does. Communicate with him. Talk with him. Let him know so that he can understand you. There are other things that we could talk about, but these will have to suffice. If you're interested in the status quo, or you're not interested in having a happy marriage, then disregard the things that we've talked about this morning. But if you want to help your husband be a better husband, I'll tell you, it's to your benefit that your husband be a better husband. If you want to help him, then be his companion. Let him know that you are his and be there for him. Be his helper in so many different ways. Submit to his leadership. Don't rebel against him. Don't be a thorn in his side. Submit to his leadership. Respect him. Love him. And communicate with him. Now, this isn't a magical formula. It isn't going to make everything better just like that. Remember, we said we can't control other people. We can only control ourselves. You want to help your husband be better? Then start working on yourself and be the best wife that you can be. And this afternoon, we're going to turn the tables. And we're going to look at how husbands can help their wives be better wives. And if you paid attention through this lesson, then men, you know, I'm going to talk about you and I and what we need to do, the changes we need to make that will have a positive effect upon our wife. Your wife will be here tonight, so you be back with her. And let's consider what the Bible has to say. We've already had one obey the gospel on this Lord's Day, and that has been a great blessing for us to witness and us to experience. Maybe there's someone else who's ready to obey the gospel. The invitation is for you. If you're ready to confess your faith in Christ and put on your Lord in baptism, as Jenna did a few moments ago, then we'd be glad to help you and assist you in that. If as a Christian you have fallen, you've stumbled, you've made a mess of your life, and you need to make things right, and you need to do it in a public way, or you need our prayers for you, we'd be glad to help you with that as well. Whatever your need is, we invite you to let it be known by stepping forward and meeting me right down here at the front as together we stand and sing this song.